You come on a special, special day. This is our vision weekend, and I am so excited about sharing with you right now the vision and the direction that we believe the Lord is leading us to. And so if you're a guest, you came at a good day, and I want to encourage you. There's a few things that are going to happen at the conclusion of our time together. When you leave, you're going to get a book. We want one per family, if at all possible. When you leave, they'll be at all of the exits, but a book that's going to go into give you the detail of what we're looking at today, what we're going to be talking about today, as well as a website that is live. We've also got exhibits in our lobby and commons area. I encourage you to go by there and get questions that you may have answered. And we'll talk a little bit more about this as we go, but it is going to be a great day. I do want to encourage those to go ahead as people are still coming into the service to be seated, and thank you for your attention this morning and students leaning in with us, because much of what I have to say today affects you in one way or another, and I think what you're going to hear is going to encourage you simply because of the past history of Champion Forest that we're going to outline. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them and turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Now, we're going to get there in just a moment. But for those of you that perhaps are guests, we have for the last couple of weeks been talking through what we call our focus priorities here at Champion Forest. Now, the goal was to finish this up last week, but that horrendous ice storm that came our way, I mean, it just locked us all up so bad. We delayed this, and so let me just kind of give you a review of where we are, and it'll set up where we are going. We have a focus statement that encapsulates these focus priorities, and I'll put it on the screen for you. This is what we're about. All of the ministries that we do, the programs that we are about, we try to funnel them through this focus statement as a church. Champion Forest advances the kingdom by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. And what we said is is a focus statement of our church. The church is people. And so what's good from a corporate standpoint is good for you personally. You ought to be asking this of yourself. Am I making disciples? This is the Great Commission. We talked about this in week one. And all of these driving priorities have, our focus priorities have a driving question behind them. And so the driving question behind making disciples is simply this: when I stand before the Lord, will I be happy with what I have to present to him? I mean, it's a reality that we are going to one day stand before God. Students, you're going to stand before the Lord one day, and you're going to give an account for your life. And at the end of the day, what matters the most is, will there be people in heaven because of you? Will there be people that look like Jesus because of your friendship, because of your leadership in their life, because you developed a friendship and shared Jesus with them and discipled them? And so we can't improve on the Great Commission. This is the last words that Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended the Father. Go into the world and make disciples. And so it's the core of what we want to do. Anything, Freedom Weekend, at its essence, is about making disciples. It's an outreach, but we want to make disciples. The second focus priority is loving our community. And the driving question behind loving our community, this is the great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. The driving question behind this focus priority is this: if Champion Forest disappeared tomorrow, if it was wiped off the map, would anyone in our surrounding community know, care, or even miss us? I mean, we want to live our lives in such a way that if we disappear tomorrow, our surrounding community, our school systems, our neighbors would say, that is not good. This was the church that came into our school systems and helped tutor our kids. These are the students that were from that church. They were on fire for the Lord. They were a blessing to the teaching faculty and to the administration and to the teams. They were solid. That church is the one that helped me mud out my home when a hurricane hit, or they fed me when I was food insecure. We're always going to believe in the power of the gospel, the articulation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is what makes your sins forgiven, and brings you into a right relationship with the Lord. But that articulation of the gospel comes with real power when we show tangibly and share tangibly the love of Christ. And so we want to be about loving our community so that others see Christ. The third focus priority, the one that we're going to outline today, is we cast this next vision. is the one we refer to as strengthening the church. I call this priority the Great Commitment. Scripturally, it's rooted in Matthew 25. It's rooted in Luke chapter 12. This text will be on the screen for you, but these two passages are about stewardship of one's life. Jesus is sharing a parable, and he calls for the steward, the manager, and that's who we are. We steward, we manage what God has entrusted to us. Our time, our talents, our relationships, our abilities, our resources. Our job is to simply steward what God has entrusted to us. And Jesus, he closes the parable out in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. And listen to what he says. He says, "Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they have entrusted much, they will demand the more." So from a corporate standpoint, as a church, Champion Forest is a Matthew 25 five-talent church. He has entrusted to us so much. He's given us an abundance of resources. He's given us an abundance of people. He's entrusted to us opportunities and privilege and influence that, quite frankly, not a whole lot of other churches get to experience. And so the driving question behind this focus priority of strengthening the church, and I want you to notice it's the big C. It's the universal church. Our missions programs, our residency program that's training up 25 young men and women called to ministry and hopefully sending them out all over North America. Our CF Connect, our church planning, and our resource arm of our church. Why do we do these things? It's to help strengthen the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, we had our Houston Church Planters Network, which is a network of pastors in the greater Houston area across denominational lines, all evangelical, doctrinally sound, and we hosted them for a one-day conference. You see the picture on the screen right there. And there were 500 pastors from the greater Houston area here for one day of training and equipping. And it was beautiful to see pastors, kingdom-minded pastors from across the city locking arms and just praying for the city of Houston. This past week, that bottom picture, you see around 10 Spanish church planters. In the last 5 years, we have raised up 60-plus Spanish church pastors through our church planting residency here, and we had our cohort this week training them and investing in them, sending them out. We've sent out, again, over 60 Spanish pastors all over North America in the last 5 years. This is just the newest class. Why do we host events and partner with organizations like the Houston Church Planters Network? Why do we have this Spanish church planting residency? It's all about what I'm talking about, this strengthening the church. And the driving question behind this focus priority is, are we stewarding the gifting, resources, and influence that God has graciously given us in a wise and strategic way? How are we doing in this? Now, again, what's good for our corporate body is good for you personally. And I would ask you in this moment to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and assess your own life. How are you stewarding the gifting, the resources, the relationships, the influence that God has graciously given you? See, a strong local church, little c, will help make a more effective and stronger universal church, big C. And today I want to talk to you about what we believe is next for Champion Forest that will no doubt help us be stronger and more effective. And in return, I believe it'll help us fulfill our role, our obligation, our responsibility to help strengthen the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm about to share with you, I've shared in many environments for nearly the past year. Some of you have heard this, and this will be the fourth or fifth time that you've heard it. Others of you, you're hearing it for the very first time, and you're no doubt going to have questions, and I want you to write those questions down because our desire is to answer every question that you may have. It's why we have a website that's dedicated to this next vision, and I'll give you that website as we make our way through it. It's why we have people at our next booth in the lobby and commons area where you can go and have your questions answered. We have a place on our website where you can submit your questions. If they aren't answered, we want to answer every question that you no doubt are going to have. And so as we make our way through this, please take note of that, and hopefully we'll answer some questions along the way. But let's talk about what's coming next. And when I say next, I do want to emphasize it's what's next. This is not something new to Champion Forest. It is something that is next for Champion Forest. Over 55 years, this church has been in Northwest Houston, going by faith and making a difference for the cause of Christ in this community. This body of faith that we call Champion Forest, it was birthed in faith and a desire to do something great for God. I have in my office a box full of church history, Champion Forest history. And I love reading through that box. It's amazing to see the faith-filled stories of this church through the generations. It started in faith. Our first pastor was a man by the name of Robin Guess. Going all the way back to 1968, Pastor Guess was serving on staff as the pastor at First Baptist Church, Navasota, Texas. He had a hobby of photography. He loved taking pictures. And so the Navasota Examiner hired him just as a side hustle, a side job, to come out to the Champions Golf Course and take pictures for the 1969 U.S. Open. Now, Robin, as the pastor at First Baptist Navasota, had been praying for God to do something big in his heart and life. He had been praying for God to stretch him. In fact, this is his wife, Janie's, testimony regarding that time. He came back from taking pictures at that golf tournament in 1969. And listen to what his wife said. And I quote, "He related to me all the wonderful things he had seen and how Champion Forest Drive was going to be a major thoroughfare someday. And that this area needed a church." She said, "Robin needed and wanted more of a challenge, so we prayed that God would give us a challenging field, and our prayers were answered." And she talks about those early days of the church as it was getting going. She said, whether clearing land or turning the preacher's garage into an office, there, the people of Champion Forest, their genuine faith and their great works went hand in hand. This isn't new, this is next. They would all say, "To God be the glory. Great things he has done." They started this church with six people in a home, an apartment. Eventually, it went to the Klein Intermediate School building, and their first service of six people, five of them had the last name Guess. It was the pastor's family there. And look at what God has done. This church was birthed in faith. In fact, I've got Pastor Guess. I've got his message that he preached from 1974. This is when they were dedicating the new worship center at the Greenwood Forest location. Now, for those of you that have been around for a while, that's the old chapel. And he preaches an amazing sermon here. And I just pulled a quote from it. Listen to his challenge from this sermon that day. Pastor Guest said, "Believe me, if we yield to the temptation to sit back and take it easy for even one day, if we relax for 1 week, we will tend to become like the church in Laodicea. He was referencing the church that Jesus speaks about in Revelation chapter 3, students, where Jesus said this church was lukewarm. They weren't hot on fire for Jesus. They weren't ice cold. They were just lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'm ready to spit them out of my mouth. I mean, who wants lukewarm coffee? Nobody likes that. And so Pastor Guess is saying, we can't relax for a moment. We don't want to be like the church at Laodicea being lukewarm. And look at what he says. I pray to God that we shall never be a warm church. Let us pray fervently that the influence of Laodicea will not encroach our blessed fellowship. God bless you, Pastor Robin Guess. I love that man and never even knew him. From the very beginning, it's in our DNA, Champion Force. Always been our desire. We're going to move by faith and we're going to attempt great things for the glory of God. And it wasn't just Robin Guess. Following his tenure as pastor here, Pastor Damon Shook came. And for 28 years served this church in a faithful manner. I wish I would have gotten to know Pastor Damon. I met his wife Jackie shortly before she passed. But I've always sensed a kindred spirit with Pastor Damon Shook, and here's why. Because Pastor Damon was 42 years old when he became pastor of Champion Forest. I was 42 years old when I became pastor of Champion Forest. Pastor Damon Shook graduated from Ouachita Baptist. I graduated from Ouachita Baptist. So I've always felt a kindred spirit, and his family's always been so good to me. Listen to his challenge to the congregation of Champion Forest way back in 1981. Damon Shook said, therefore, do you want to do something great to make a difference in Houston and to the world? Then put your first emphasis, your first prayers, your first energy, your first dollars where Jesus Christ put his concern and commissioned his local body of believers for you and me. This means Champion Forest Baptist Church. See, this call to go by faith, to attempt something great for God, to be faithful stewards, to utilize and work to ensure that everything we have, all that we are, is put to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always been in us, not to just do something great in Houston, but to the whole world. It has marked us all of our days, from Pastor Robin Guest to Pastor Damon Shook to Pastor David Fleming, my predecessor. This call has gone out to Champion Force again and again. Let's move by faith. And again, Champion Force, you have stepped up and answered the call. Listen to this sense of urgency from Pastor David Fleming in 2008. It's the question of the hour. He said, will we do whatever it takes to keep reaching people for Christ? Each of us must make an impact with our lives and the resources God has and will provide. Even then, talking about stewardship, faithfulness, I pray you will respond with a confident and faith-filled yes so that together we can make an impact for him for every generation. Students, that's why I'm so glad that God in his sovereignty chose Freedom Weekend to be Vision Weekend, because what we're talking about today is a baton that has been passed for over 50 years from one generation to another. So when we say this is next, that is truly what we're saying. What I'm about to talk to you about is what you've been doing, what we've been doing for over 55 years. And so with that being said, let me introduce you to Next. In the summer of 2024, I woke up in the middle of the night, and this has rarely happened, okay? I promise you, I'm not the prophet, I'm not the son of the prophet, okay? Usually when I wake up in the middle of the night, it's because Lupe was sitting heavy, okay? But this night, this night I woke up, and immediately on my mind and heart was this statement. You see it on the screen, from Northwest Houston to the world. Didn't know what it meant, didn't know where it came from, but I sure liked the sound of it, from Northwest Houston to the world. I got up, I remember writing it down. Those journals I showed you a few weeks ago, I could probably point you to the night I wrote it down. And I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't know what it meant. I just thought on it. What does that mean? You know, what Northwest Houston to the world. Now, you afford me every summer, and I'm very grateful, about 4 to 6 weeks out of the pulpit. I'm here working outside of 2 weeks where I kind of get away for the summer. But those 4 to 6 weeks out of the pulpit, I'm so grateful for. We got an incredible teaching team. We don't miss a beat. It's healthy for our church to hear from other people. And in that time away, the way that I refer to it is I'm not working in the ministry. I'm working on the ministry. Super Bowl's coming up. There'll be coaches on the sidelines, but there'll also be coaches in the press box. And those 4 to 6 weeks that you allow me away, I'm typically in the press box, so to speak, looking down on our church, praying, thinking, I pray for our family, I pray for me, what's next for me personally, I pray for our church, as God's entrusted this flock under my care. I'm the under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve with an incredible team. And I just use that time to pray. Typically, I'm away, and for those 2 weeks, I pray, I pal around with some friends the first week, and the second week I bring my family out, or I bring Deb out. It's always a lot more fun when it's just Debbie, but you know, I bring them all out, and it's great. Now, I remember when I first got here, people were so kind, and I'd have conversations. They say, what's your vision? What's your vision for our church? And I've said this in many environments, and it's true. Like, I had no vision. I was trying to learn where Luetta started and where it stopped, all right? I couldn't figure it out to save my life. And so I didn't know this area. I didn't know our church. And so my first year here, truly, all I wanted to do was pray. I wanted to be like Nehemiah, which we're starting a Nehemiah series next week. And what Nehemiah was doing in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and what we're doing goes just like this. It's going to be a beautiful series that starts next week. But the first year, wanted to pray. I wanted to observe. I wanted to get to know our team. I wanted to get to know you. I wanted to preach good sermons to the best of my ability. That was the first year. Tinker with things as it came along the way, but had no real vision. And truthfully, all these summers of getting away, it has, you know, God's been speaking, but here's how I work as a leader, just so you know. I'm not sitting in my office and, you know, have this huge vision and come out and go, here where we go and let's go. That's not the way I operate. Typically what I'll do is I'll pray through it. Like I get that statement. I was sitting on that for a year. Last year, I'm on my time away. And in my time alone with the Lord, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. I'm in my Old Testament reading. I'm not looking for anything specifically. I'm just going through a chapter a day in my Old Testament. And this was in my time away as I'm praying. This verse came off the page and into my heart. The context, Israel has been in rebellion and judgment, and God is getting ready to send them into captivity. And he gives them a word, you're gonna be judged, and I'm sending you into captivity, but I'm gonna bring you out eventually. And he gives them a word of hope. When I bring you out of captivity, I'm gonna bless you like crazy, but you have to prepare for it. And this is the verse right here. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtain of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Do you see it there? He's speaking of the nomadic rule of the day. He's saying, listen, I'm going to bless you, but you've got to prepare for the blessing. So you better lengthen your cords. You better make the tent bigger. You've got to expand. You've got to enlarge. But then look at what he says. You've got to strengthen your stakes. Some versions say you've got to drive your stakes deep. You've got to anchor down. And that picture there of just expansion and enlargement and anchoring down, if you grew up in church like me, you used to sing a song, deep and wide. I ain't gonna sing it for you, but you know the song, right? Deep and wide. And that's the sense of what I got God calling us to. Now, we knew we needed to do some things around here, and we've been talking about it, but this was the first time I'd sensed a green light, and I love that sense of urgency. Do not hold back. It's like now is the time. And so what I did was I came back, and we've been praying about this, and what I try to do with a vision just until it crystallizes, because I'm not even sure. I want to make sure that I'm not out over my skis and not leading you somewhere you don't need to be. I just start leaking it through concentric circles of influence. I bring it to our senior team here, and we talk and pray, and I bring it to leaders in the church, and we talk and pray. And I just begin just leaking, letting people speak into it, and we begin to leak this. We told all of our life group leaders about it last August. We got a team of people together. We call our next vision team. I want to show you who these people are. Many of you know these people. This represents a cross-section of our church. We've got people on here from age 26 to 85, okay? They're Champions members. They're North Klein members. They're members of our Spanish church. It's a great cross-section of our church. And I got these leaders together in September, I believe, for the first time. And we begin to talk and we begin to pray and they begin to hear what we believe the Lord was doing. They were able to speak into it, and they have been unbelievable to meet on a monthly basis and to pray and to just help us kind of massage what we were looking at here. They serve in different capacities. Some are life group leaders, some are deacons, but they're all throughout our church. And these people have been unbelievable in coming alongside the leadership of our church and just crystallizing what it is that I'm about to present to you. Now, I want to give you the basis of what's been going on here at Champion Forest so you can get a little bit of feel for what's going on. First of all, I want you to see our worship attendance over the last 3 years. This is very important for you to know, okay? You see the increase at North Klein. This is year over year over year. You see Champions 9%, 10%, 9%. God is blessing us like crazy. What this means is our front door of our church is wide open because you're inviting friends. People are hearing about what God is doing, and our front door is wide open. By the way, for those of you that love our parking situation, those 1,200 people, that represents 600 more cars that wasn't here 3 years ago, okay? Now, just hang with us because I think I got some good news in the future, not today, in the coming weeks about our parking. But anyway, I just lay that out there, all right? Be nice on the way out of here. So you see the increase. Now, here's what you need to know on church. If a church is increasing, listen to this, a normal church, if they're increasing by 3 to 5% in any given year, that's like high fives. That's Gatorade baths, all right? That means they're doing a good job. Look at the growth that God is giving us year after year after year. Not only in worship, but look at our life groups here. What this means is that not only is our front door wide open, but our back door is closing. Because our discipleship mechanism in our church mainly happens in life groups. That's how we get the big church small. This is where you use your spiritual gifts. This is where you minister to one another. If you're in the hospital, this is where people know you're in the hospital and they can come and help meet needs. And so this shows us that our back door is closing. Now you see the clip on North Klein, it's going down a little bit, and I believe I can explain why in just a minute and think we have a solution to it. But the point is, front door's open, back door's closing, more people are getting assimilated into ministry, God is blessing like crazy. And so the whole point of Isaiah 54 is we gotta continue to expand and anchor deep. And so there are five initiatives I wanna share with you in this next vision. All five of these initiatives funnel within these focus priorities. There is a reason we're doing the focus priority series at the beginning of the church. What I'm about to share with you in these five initiatives, what I'm about to share with you is not something new. They funnel and filter through everything that we've been talking about, making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. Five initiatives. Again, I know you're gonna have questions. Write them down. Check our website this afternoon. Go by our next booth. Ask your questions, and we'll work them out in the days ahead. But here we go. Five initiatives. I'm gonna walk you through them one at a time. First is a worship center renovation. This worship center. This worship center was built and dedicated in 2002. It opened. This is original carpet. It's original painting. It's original light. In fact, the lights in this room right now are 100% on, except for these two sides right here where it's a little darker, 100%. This room has served us well for nearly 25 years. And it's just time to freshen it up. It's a big room, 4,100 seats. It's a big dollar amount. We last did a tech upgrade in 2012. Which was wonderful. We needed a tech upgrade. But as you know, tech and media, it's new every single day. And I bet there's not many people in this church or watching online for that matter that have a phone or watching from a TV from 2012. If you are, it's connected to an adapter, to an adapter, to an adapter, to an adapter. And if you talk to our media crew, we have gotten mileage out of this tech upgrade, and they're holding it together, adapter to adapter to adapter to adapter. We did, for those of you that have been around here for a long time, recover the seats. They used to be all red. That was before my time. I bet it was glorious. But it's time to come in here and refresh in this worship center. When I was in England, Churchill, of course, is a great figure there. And I was given a statement, a quote by Churchill that he made when they were rebuilding the House of Commons. And he wanted to rebuild the House of Commons exactly the way it was before it was bombed in World War II. And listen to what Churchill said. He said, "We shape our buildings, but then our buildings shape us." Now, for 25 years, Champion Force, think about the lives this building has shaped. Think about the marriages that have been strengthened, some restored. Think about the kids that have been dedicated. Think about the students, some of your children who have been baptized. We shape our buildings, but then our buildings, especially this, the preaching and teaching of God's word, it shapes our lives. And so it's time to reshape our building, and we don't think we're getting out over our skis. We've partnered with a very trusted firm that does this all over North America. They've done some renovations in some buddies of mine's churches across the United States. We've seen it. It's time. This building has served us for 23 years. It's time to fix it up so it can celebrate, so that it can serve the next generation for the next 25 years. That's initiative number one. Initiative number two is the Kids and Adult Discipleship Building at our North Klein campus. If you haven't been up to North Klein, here's a little aerial of what it looks like. God's doing an amazing work there. So amazing that if you notice those numbers the last year, the growth in North Klein has kind of tailed off, especially in life group. Let me tell you why. Because God's blessing our congregation there in such a tremendous way that we've had to go into Fox Elementary School, which is about a quarter of a mile down the road from the church. So I want you to think about being a young couple who comes to church and you drop your children off at the children's building right there. And we say, "Okay, where do I go to a couples class?" And they say, "Glad you asked. Get back in your car and you want to drive about a quarter of a mile down the road or get on a shuttle bus." And you're not on the same campus as your children. And it's been working for the last 2 years. But the reality is our philosophy of ministry here, this is very important for you to hear. We believe in on-campus small groups. So we know there are churches out there that do home groups, and we think that's great. But we believe in on-campus life groups. That's how we've always been, and we believe it's most effective and most strategic, but it's also expensive. And so we need to come into North Klein, and we want to expand this by 15,000 square feet. This will help maximize their growth there. It will help get everybody out of Fox Elementary back on campus, and we're going to have 130 place parking lot that they desperately need on the south side of their campus. This is an expansion at our North Klein campus. That's initiative number two. Initiative number three is a digital ministry and broadcast expansion. When I was at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, one of the statements that they made at seminary, and they would say at every chapel, we would say it in nearly every class, they would say, "The sun never sets on the ministry of Southwestern Seminary." Now, man, I thought that was so cool, because what they talked about was somewhere around the world, there's a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary serving Jesus on the mission field. The sun never sets. Well, we know today, the sun never sets through this right here. The sun never sets through digital media. And what we believe God is calling us to, because what we're talking about today is stewardship, to whom much is given, much is required. God has blessed us. And we believe what God has given us in the pulpit ministries of this church, not just in English, but in Spanish. We have in Pastor Ramon Medina, one of the most gifted communicators in the world. We need to be getting his messages to as many people as possible in Spanish. I believe we need to be getting messages that we're preaching here to the entire world, which, by the way, today, if you follow us on social media, you saw what we call our broadcast ministry here is for. We started right now, this past hour on CBS, 2.9 million households in Houston. Started today. 2.9 million households that we have the potential of getting the gospel to. And we want to saturate the airwaves. And I'm not just talking radio and television, internet. I'm not just talking English and Spanish. I'm talking about streaming services. One of the missional components that we want to do is get on an app called Pando. But again, technology is expensive. It costs money. Pando is a ministry under the heading of God Behind Bars. Did you know there are 1.9 million incarcerated individuals in North America right now? 1.9 million. In prison systems across the United States, they allow certain inmates at certain facilities, government approved, to have an iPad with certain apps on there, educational apps, inspirational apps. The only inspirational app they have right now that is government approved is the app Pando. And you can specialize where you want to go and what prisons you want to go in. We could go into Navasota. We go into Angleton. And we can put our messages on there, English and Spanish. Wouldn't that be incredible to be able to be behind bars preaching the gospel? People get saved, people get discipled, and then God willing, when they get out, maybe they even come to Champion Forest and find a place to plug in and serve for the glory of God. It's rebuilding lives, but it costs. And so this is the third initiative with our next initiative, the Worship Center renovation, North Klein Kids and Adults Discipleship Building, a digital ministry broadcast expansion, and then fourthly, International Church Planting Project. When we were thinking about doing this, we know, again, we want to strengthen the church, the universal church. And we have three partners in our church that have longstanding relationships with. One is Greater European Mission. The other is For All Mankind Movement. And the other is the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. We have long relationships with each of these organizations. And so we met with them. And we said, what could we do that could be special, unique, and be a great move of God in partnering with you? And so Greater European Mission came back and they said, would you help us adopt four countries in Europe? And we want you to help us train up pastors and missionaries to go into these four cities in Europe. We want you to send teams, so life group teams, going together to these cities and help start a church planting movement in these four cities in Europe. For All Mankind Movement said, we're all in. God's doing a great work in Nepal. There's seven provinces in Nepal. Would you come and help us train up indigenous church planters and church works? And it's gonna cost, but we can do it. And so that's what For All Mankind Movement wanted to do, a church planting movement in Nepal. The International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, they saw what we do in our Spanish church planting residency. And they think it's amazing. And they said, would you come to Madrid and start a Spanish church planting residency in Madrid? Now, the head of our church planting residency, while it's under Ramon Medina's leadership, the head of our residency is a man by the name of Esteban Vasquez. He and his wife, Karina, have been on our staff for 16 years. They've been members of our church for 16 years. They've been on staff for 13 years. He's one of the teaching pastors in the Spanish church. He's the one that leads this church planting residency. And as the IMB began to talk, Pastor Esteban, our pastor, began to feel it is on his heart that he's the one that needs to go and lead that ministry. Pastor Esteban and his wife, Karina, are sitting right over here. Pastor, stand up. Karina, stand up. Let us honor you right here. We love you. I'm going to interview Pastor Esteban in a couple of weeks. But he's gonna go. He's already passing the baton of leadership here, so our residency is gonna continue to go. But he's gonna do in Madrid what we're doing here, and we're a part of this. This is for the nations. It's an international church planting project. And then fifth and finally, the fifth initiative is a third campus in the Magnolia area. Many of you, if you've been around this area long, you know that is a thriving area. The numbers alone, from 2020 to 2025, Magnolia grew by 147%, Tomball by 67%, Montgomery grew by 64%. Many of you drive down. We have many members from the North Klein campus drive down. And so we believe it's time to start a third campus and do for a third campus in North Magnolia region. We don't know where yet, but to do for them what we did in North Klein. Now, our multi-site approach, when I came here 5 years ago, we had four campuses. One in Conroe, one in Jersey Village, North Klein and Champions. Second year, we spun off our Conroe campus and made its own autonomous church. Pillar Church, led by Pastor Alec Brunson, is thriving, doing a wonderful job. Jersey Village, we spun off in 2024. Now it's the church at Jersey Village, led by Pastor Avery Lamel, thriving, doing a wonderful job. We believe that the best way to plant campuses is doing it just like we did with North Klein. 300 members of our Champion campus who share our DNA went and helped plant this campus, and you see the numbers, it's blowing up. And so it's time to ask members. We're not going to make anybody, but if you live in that area and you're interested, we believe that we can have services beginning in January of 2027. We're going to work our way toward that end, but part of this project is asking for a certain amount of money to be laid aside so that when land comes up, if we find the right piece, we can acquire that land. We can meet the church. The church can meet. We can find a school. We can find somewhere to meet. That's not going to stop us from starting the campus. But as part of this project that you're going to hear in just a minute, we want that to be solely set aside for land. When it comes up, we can make the purchase. You see here a little heat map. I won't stay here long, but I just want you to see it. You see the major thoroughfares right there. The yellow dots in the bottom, that represents Champions members, where our Champions members live. The red dots represent where our North Klein members live. And that circle region is where we're wanting to go. And our prayer is in 5 years, that's saturated with dots that are, I don't know, blue, purple, green. We don't care, but it's going to be a dot that's saturated with people because we are from Northwest Houston to the world. And as long as there is somebody in Northwest Houston that doesn't know Jesus, that needs to be reached with the love of Christ, Champion Forest, to whom much is given, much is required, we have a stewardship on our life. And this is something that we believe God is calling us to do. And so we've got to go. Total price on this project. Here's what's important about this. This is the start of what we call a capital campaign, a generosity initiative. This is nothing new to Champion Forest. Again, this is next. You've been through capital campaigns in the past. We call them generosity initiatives because for them to ever work, you have to be generous. It's a 3-year capital campaign where we ask you to pray and to commit over a 3-year period to give a certain amount, whatever God leads you to, over and above your regular tithes and offerings. This is not like our previous program where we had a one fund for 2 years that combined our operating budget as well as what we wanted to do. This is a traditional 3-year campaign where you commit as families to give over and above your regular tithes and offerings because we're not going to stop the ministry that we're doing. In fact, we need more. But what we're asking you to do is to commit over 3 years to allow us to do these projects. The total price of the project is $38 million. The book that you receive when you walk out is going to have all of the details of these projects, everything that I've talked about. And so here's the call to action today. Number one, I'm gonna ask you to pray it through. In order for us to accomplish this goal, to do this, that we believe God is leading us to, and we want to do something great for God, it's going to take every single one of us in here, every single one of us. And all I, as your pastor, am asking you to do is to pray it through. God, what would you have me do? Secondly, I'm asking you to participate as God leads. The only pressure you ought to feel as we make our way through this campaign is the pressure of the Holy Spirit, because you're not going to feel it from me. I'm praying what Paul prayed for the Macedonians. You know what he said about the Macedonians? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I was in my time alone this week, and I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It said the Macedonians, they gave above their means on their own accord. And that's what I'm praying. I'm praying that we'll participate at whatever level God says, but we'll strive to sacrifice and to go above our means on our own accord. I'm going to ask you to propel us forward. And what I mean by that is on March the 1st, we're going to have Commitment Sunday. We've got 5 weeks to pray as families, to pray as a church. If you're on our devotionals, you got a devotional today sent to you. If you're looking for a devotional and want to go through a spiritual guide these next 28 days, all you have to do is text the word DEVO to 77069. And you'll get 28 days worth of devotionals as we pray and seek the Lord, because this generosity initiative, this capital campaign, we want it to be a spiritual journey. It's why we're going to go through the book of Nehemiah together. So text Devo to 77069. You'll get a Devo every morning. As a staff, we've been fasting since January, since the first week in January on Wednesdays at noon. We've been fasting for this right here. We're going to ask you to join us on a fast. If you can't do it on Wednesdays at noon, pick a day to do it. And give up something physical to seek the Lord at a greater spiritual level. And on March the 1st, here's what we're going to ask you to do. On March the 1st, there's a commitment card in the book. You'll get a commitment card the next 2 weeks. You're going to hear about next a lot. But here's the thing. The average church member comes once a month. So over the next 9 weeks, we're going to hit it because we got to hit every member that comes. But here's the deal. You're going to get a card in your book. You're going to get a card when you come to church. We're all asking you to do is just pray and participate. On March the 1st, we have Commitment Sunday, where we're going to have a time in our service where we come lay our commitments at the altar. And on March the 1st, we're asking you to bring your first and best offering along with your three-year pledge. Think of it as a down payment on a house, if you will. You're going to bring your first and best offering on March the 1st, and you're going to bring your three-year pledge, and we're going to lay it at the altar, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And then March 8th and 15th, there's spring break weeks around here. We're going to continue to take in commitments. And then March the 22nd will be Celebration Sunday, where we tell you as a church what we've done. Now, 2 more minutes, and we'll close the service out. As you look at this card, I want you to notice our audacious goal, and God's going to have to come through, and every single one of us are going to have to participate in order for this to happen. It's not equal gifts. None of us can give the same thing, but it is equal sacrifice. God, what would you have me do? On March the 1st, we're praying that God would allow us to take in $6 million that Sunday so that we can trigger the work that needs to be done here in the worship center. It could start immediately after Easter, and Lord willing, we'd be back in December. But in order for that to happen, $6 million on March the 1st, that also triggers the North Klein expansion. And we already have $2 million on hand, which is wonderful, but we need six on March the 1st. And if you notice on this card, it says we need pledges of $22 million. Now for you engineers and math wizards, you're saying $22 million and $6 million. Pastor Jared, that's 28. I thought you said the goal was 38. The answer is yes. Because as we visited with stewardship consultants, people that looked at us, people that saw our giving, people that saw what our past initiatives are doing, you know what they told us? They said, if Champion Forest knocks it out of the ballpark in this three-year campaign, you can expect $28 million. And we looked at them and said, we believe God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So we're going for the full $38 million. But it's going to take every single one of us going all in. If we take out debt, know that the church has to approve that. We've got a finance committee that'll make sure that we're being responsible in that. But before we take out any debt, you as a church have to approve it. Champion Forest, to whom much is given, much is required. We have a stewardship on our church. We have an obligation, a responsibility to do whatever it takes to reach as many people as possible. And I want you to hear that urgency of Isaiah 54:2. Do not hold back. Now is the time. And so from Northwest Houston to the world.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.